Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're now listening to the Middleman Radio. This is the Middleman Talk Show. This is your boy, Al.
And this is Kevin. You know what, Al?
What up, man?
We ain't got to wait on nobody fumbling and bumbling today after us, so we by our dolo,
hey,
so
man.
We good.
Hey, it's just a dynamic duo today. You know, the Fantastic Four is not here today, but we're still going to give you that same Middleman energy, that Middleman love,
yes,
that
sir.
Middleman knowledge. You know, those
yes, sir.
Highly opinionated middlemen, you know, discussions. We're going to have those today.
Yes.
Like normal.
We will. You know, another thing, Al,
yeah.
I mean, when you say dynamic duo, I'm trying to figure out something, brother. You know what I'm trying to figure out, man?
What you trying to figure out,
man? Who's Batman?
Oh.
I mean, you know, somebody got to be Robin. I think we may need to think of something else, but I appreciate
hold on,
the dynamic
hold on, hold on, hold on.
Duo, but...
Hold on. Who's Jordan and who's Pippen? Or who's Magic and who is, you know, James Worthy or, you know... Who?
You know, I don't do Lakers at all. I don't do Lakers.
My bad.
No.
My bad.
Yeah.
Wrong team.
Yeah. Yeah, for everybody that don't know, I am not a Laker fan. I am a true Celtic fan since the early 80s. Yes, I am a Celtic fan. I'm not this new wave 08, you know, hey, we just won. No, I've been there since the pain happened after 85. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, true Celtic fan.
So you were old enough to actually witness all of that, you know, like.
Yeah, man.
And then,
I went through
the 2000s with KG them, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I witnessed all of it, man. I mean, the death of Len Bias, the death of Reggie Lewis. So, yeah, I'm a Celtic fan. You know that. You know what I'm saying? The years that Patino came in and ruined the team.
No.
Traded Chauncey Billups.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a true Celtic fan.
Hey, I hear that, man. I hear that.
Yeah.
Now, I know you were telling
only
me earlier that people are, like, lined up today out there in Georgia because there's, like, something going on with Michael Jordan or something? Or the shooting?
Yeah, man. If you're familiar with the Georgia area, if you're familiar with the Atlanta metro area, Decatur or DeKalb County, there's a – well, yeah, it was a Green – no, Greenbrier is, like, southwest Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, they was out there at Greenbrier Mall, lined up around the building, waiting on a new pair of Jordans. New
ain't
pair
no
of Jordans,
way.
I mean, in this, I'm just trying to figure out this, man. What makes our people mentality like that? You know, they got the little stimulus check, so they're going to go in there and get about half of their money back for a pair of tennis shoes.
Pretty much.
That's inferior.
Pretty much.
That's inferior now.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's
all
good.
I mean, we see it every year. We see it every year. Like when those you know those high, I guess you'd say those high wanted, those in demand Jordans that everybody wants. We see those lines every year. It never changes. Never changes.
My question is it really that necessary to buy a pair of shoes every year that they continuously just change? One or two things and potentially put them out. That makes no sense
it's
to me.
It's supposed to be the same shoe. It's supposed to be the same shoe, but like you're buying the same shoe over and over again. So I guess if you wear them for 2 years and then they come back out in 2 more years, like, well, I'm giving me a brand new pair, but you still got the mother pair at the house because I'm an adult. My feet not growing no more. Right?
Right. Pure stupidity. Now, let me not knock the hustle. My son turned me onto a television show where these guys, they go in, they buy the shoes, refurbish them, and resell them. So
right.
The aspect of business behind it, kudos to all them young brothers out there that's doing the cleaning, the restoration of them, and also the collector side of it. I do respect that because those guys are actually turning a profit. So when you're looking at it from a business model and a business aspect, it's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful.
Right.
Beautiful.
Right.
But, one thing I know you and I was talking about, too, you know, we was talking about the draft. It kind of led to this show right here, man. For all of those that did not watch the draft, or maybe you're beneath the rock, there was a particular family where the young man, I forgot what state he was from, but he was a guard or something like that. And when he got drafted, you know, the NFL draft, they went to everybody home this year because of COVID-19. So in this particular list, like I said, we've seen, he's sitting on the couch. They call his name. His girlfriend come out of the frame from the right. He sits on his lap. Cover him up. The only thing you see is her face all in the camera. Woo, woo, woo. Next thing you know, there come moms, like, straight in, swoop, grab her by the arm, like, hey, you need to get up. Get up out of here and stroll on. Man, this was the most entertaining, interesting draft I've seen in a while, especially with old boy from Alabama that came out with the robe on. That was
gangster. Oh, my God.
Really? Hey, what's his name?
Ray. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
That was gangster.
Well, supposedly there's a story behind that robe, and I was trying to research it and so I could bring it up before the show. But the clip with Isaiah Wilson, you know, his mother pulling, I guess, his girlfriend off of him, that was priceless. That was like, man, that's every black family in Mississippi, man. Like that, like you're not gonna do that. You're not gonna disrespect the family. You're not gonna cause a scene. Like that's causing a scene. And mama came over, grabbed her, tried to be polite, but then I saw the jerk. Like, you saw the little yank with it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. You saw the yank with it. So you know
she
meant business with that yank. You know what I'm saying? But on to today's show, we can talk about that, you know, for an hour. But on to today's show, title of today, Love or Strategy and the Black Athlete. So some of our children have been able to achieve great success by playing on a professional level. Sports have given them an outlet to express themselves by using their athletic talents, which is a great thing. But does love come with that? Does love come with the money and the fame? So that's the overall question that we're looking for today, okay? Also, are pro athlete suitors, you know what I mean, targeting them for love? Or are they targeting them for the security of financial stability? Next, we want to go into, like, should black parents tell their sons, like, what type of women or their daughters, what type of men should they date if they have the potential to go pro? How would the outlook of the situation change if the roles were reversed, such as black female athletes being pursued by white males or white male athletes being pursued by black females? All right? Do black athletes have a false sense of privilege once they have achieved the money and success? And what typically happens with these relationships if these athletes get injured before their big contract actually happens? Do they stay with them? Do they leave? How would you help your child in that situation? And lastly, does having a man or woman of another nationality or race signify having the made it into higher society syndrome? So we definitely want to discuss all those things today. If you would like to comment, the number is 516-387-1542. You may also place your comment in the chat board as well, too. So we're going to go ahead and get right into the discussion today. And so does love come with the money and the fame? Of course, we all know the answer to that. But do our children know that? Do our up-and-coming athletes know that? How do you feel about that, Kevin?
The biggest part of it all is we are in a different time in society. I don't think that a lot of parents are in depth with their children and speaking about relationships as they were in times before. You see a lot more multicultural relationships. You do see a lot more people that are open to dating outside of their race. When it comes to money and love, these kids are a little bit more prepared because their mind is already understanding how money works because they see it all the time, especially with their parents, if their parents are up on it. But when it comes to the relationship side, I'm not so sure. That's just my opinion.
And then we also got to add this in there too, Kevin. Like, the contracts that these kids are getting now are like way more than the contracts, you know, versus 20, you know, 30 years ago, of course, right? So you attract a different type of attention to yourself. You attract a different type of, you know, people that you have probably would have never had any contact with.
Right.
So does that influence? Like, do they target them like for love? Or is it the financial security? Now, we know stories. We've seen things. We've heard reports. We've heard, you know, where, you know, people who have gotten drafted, you know, made a lot of money, then next thing you know, they don't have a lot of money, and then their particular, you know, spouse who's supposed to love them wiped them out or left them and did not come back and help them. So I think we got a caller. Would you like to bring in the caller? I think it's our guy, our friend.
All right. This is Derek. What's going on, Derek?
Oh, not much, man. How we doing today?
Everything's wonderful, brother. How you doing today, brother?
I'm good. I'm loving this topic that y'all got, boy.
All right.
So, Derek, this is Alan from the Middleman. Would you mind, you know, giving just a brief background of your, you know, your career and, you know, the sports that you've played?
Okay. Played multiple sports. You know, ran track, played a little football, played basketball, played on the collegiate level. 3 years, played some when I was in the military, you know, moved around with it a little bit, and got a chance to experience a lot of what you guys are talking about. I played power forward and center, 6'10", and I met my wife in college while I was playing. And, hello?
That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Okay.
Through your travels, as far as like when you were playing, when your parents kind of figured out, now were your parents really involved with you in sports?
Not really, man. I grew up in the inner city. I grew up downtown Memphis.
Okay.
You know, they knew I was playing. You know what I'm saying? I started playing to get out of the commotion of the day to day. You know, inner city life, man. I grew up. If any of your listeners know anything about Memphis, I grew up in between Fowler Homes, Hurst Village, and Lauderdale Court. So that was a hot zone at the time in the 90s.
Hmm.
And so playing sports was the outlet to get out of the environment.
Right.
But once I got to playing ball, you know, and start building a little name for myself, you know, you bring a certain people, you know, catch on. Certain people start looking, you know, i.e. the opposite sex. You know, that's a big part of it. You know, and guys got to be real mindful, man, about the people that they click up with, who they allow in their circle. You know, I learned a long time ago, man, from one of my coaches, you know, some people in your life for a reason, some people in your life for a season. And you ran into a lot of those seasoned folks, man, that's trying to see what they can get, whether or not it was an AAU coach, whether or not it was a high school coach, whether or not it was a college coach, whether or not it was a booster trying to link you up with somebody. You know, all these different little guys would be part of the game. Yeah.
Hmm.
Then when you're dealing with, you know, you start dealing with the matters of the heart, probably one of the truest movies that I ever saw, man, was He Got Game.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, yeah.
That, yeah. That was, great movie. Great
that
movie.
That wasn't a depiction of what the game looked like as far as, you know, especially dealing with the realm of the women, man. It was a different ball game because you didn't just have the girls that were in your age group that was after you. Sometimes it might be 5-10 years older than you.
Wow.
You know,
so again, you mean to tell me that you had grown women chasing you at a younger age when they saw your potential?
Man, what? it was more grown women chasing than it was the girls your age. Because
right.
They
wow.
knew the game. You know? You know, you have to be real careful, especially if you link up with one. No, baby, you don't need to use protection. We good. You ain't got to do. Yeah, and you young and dumb. That's a lot of my homeboys right now that probably got 10 kids. You know, from the ages of 15 to 19, just off bad decisions.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
man,
that
it's
right
it's
there,
real. A lot of people don't. They don't think about all of the other parts that get in there, you know, and you having to really research people to find out who for you and who ain't. You know, the same people you say, oh, man, run with the people that you came in with. A lot of them, once you get that ticket on your name, some of them change.
Yeah, I can see it. You know, one thing, Derek, we got a clip right quick, and, you know, I'm going to play this clip, and I want you to hang on with us. You are listening to the Middleman Talk Show. We got our man, Derek. He's played different levels of pro sports, collegiate and high school, and he was a beast in his day. So y'all check this out right here. We're talking about how some women meet pro athletes, and that was kind of funny. It's interesting that he said that, but here we go.
How exactly do you go about meeting these guys, these professional athletes?
Parties, events,
bars, clubs,
restaurants, the website,
grocery
you know,
store.
Twitter, Facebook, you know.
Well, you make it sound like they're incredibly easy to meet.
They really are. They're very accessible if you do your research.
So you're doing research. So that's what this website, I guess, is about. It never occurred to me that women are actually doing research on how to meet a professional athlete.
Well,
so you want to find out where they're staying, when they're on the road, what clubs they may go to?
Yeah, I mean, that you will know someone in another city, so it's pretty accessible, you know, to know where they're going to be or where they're going to go out. You know, normally if they're traveling somewhere, they go out to the club the night before they have a game. You'd be surprised how many of them are hosting a party right before they have, you know, a game the next night, a playoff game.
And a lot of them are married, though.
Yeah, a lot of them are married or have girlfriends, yes.
Does that bother you at all?
It definitely bothers me to know that. But I think at the same time, the girlfriend or the wife, I think they are pretty aware of what's going on with their husband or their boyfriend.
Meeting a guy when you're doing your research, if you see he's married, you don't check him off your list.
I do. I don't date married men. I'm not in it for just a good party. I'd like to meet somebody and get married. So if you're already married, that's not going to, how can we both be married?
Wow. So that was a clip on what some ladies do to research what type of man that they would like to marry on a pro level. So some of the ladies, like, they have it down to the T, like where you live, your height, how much money you make, where you're going to be next, what hotel you're going to be staying in. And we heard these stories, too. Like, we've heard where, you know, even if there is a security guard at one door, there's always going to be a few that are actually going to get in the hotel. Some are going to make it past the hallway monitor, and then somebody's going to make it into your bedroom. So as you can see, like these ladies have plans. Like they have it down to a science. Like
strategy.
Wow.
Damn. The funny part about it, you know, I know with Derek, you could probably speak to this better than we could, but for younger people now, they are so accessible through internet, like the social media, different sites, things of that nature.
Right.
Back in your day, Derek, did you ever notice, like, did y'all ever find out how they communicate with each other? Did they have, a hotline, or they send up a bat signal, baller in the building or something like that?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All of that. All of that. Remember the movie Players Club? When the ball was walking in the club and they hit the horn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a similar setup, man. It used to be a list, you know, when I was coming up in school. It was the you can get it list. On that list, it was every athlete that was on campus that was any name of note. If they were in the starting lineup, if they was the second rotation in, their name was on that list.
Wow.
So, man, it's calculated, man. A lot of these jokers, man. And what she was saying is the new age version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, you still had some of the girls that would come to the hotels that, pay off the little bellhop to let them know, you know, when the bus come in, you know, when the cars start coming in, you know, party promoters. They will call certain girls in, you know, because they had the looking list. You know what I'm saying? The girls that range from a 7 to a 10. And they would bring them in for special occasions. They knew what was going on, man. You know?
Oh,
and guys, we didn't make it no better because we were setting up the thirst traps. You know, we was trying to, you know, get whatever we can get and not thinking about the consequences of it.
Wow, yep. And see, and these are things that we need to be talking about, like, right now. So let's
It was one more thing that you said, Al. It was, dealing with the young guys, because I got a son playing football now. I got three girls playing high school basketball, and I got a baby boy. All my kids involved with sports, right? So I was talking to my son. I'm like, look, man, you know, 21 years old, no kids, still in school, you know, you playing sports. I said, like, you a zebra with polka dots. You know what I'm saying? You got to be real. You know, people watching you. You know what I'm saying? You got they zoned in. And he like, I'm a pop. I'm like, man, listen. I said, I ain't going to tell you how to do it, but I'm going to give you the book on how to make it.
Well, Derek, let me ask you, though. Let me ask you. You said you told your son you're not going to tell him how to do it. But my question to you is, should you, for his best interest, tell him how to do it? And would you advise other parents with athletic kids, you know, hey, watch out for this type woman. Watch that type woman. Or with your daughter, watch out for this type dude. Or watch out for that type guy. You wouldn't do that? Or you wouldn't advise anybody to do that? Why so?
I wouldn't advise them to do it because I've been there. I did it. You know, once I got the playing sports good, you know, then the parental wisdom want to kick in. Hey, don't do this, don't do that. And I'm like, man, listen, I'm going to do this. I'm going to buy that ticket to find out if their ride was good. All right? Now, dealing with my son, I'm like, dude, you're 21 years old. Now, I can try to tell you what to do all day. I can try to, you know, set the table the whole time. You still going to eat what you want to eat.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So giving him the advice and putting it in a teachable moment is more valuable than trying to straight up just tell him what to do. I've learned that over time. Like, you know, I give him a rundown. I give him play-by-play on what's going to happen. You know, like, all right, you know, dealing with this girl right here is going to be this. You know, she's going to give you a call. She's not going to ask any questions on, you know, do you have parents? Do you stay with your mom and dad? You know, what your grades look like. She ain't gonna ask you this. She gonna ask you about your meat. She gonna ask you how many girlfriends you got. She gonna ask you how many bodies you got. She gonna ask you if you got any babies. That's and it was play by play. Like, Pop, man, you said it. I'm like, well, I said, man, you got an option. You can either bag it or scratch it. Now, what you gonna do?
Man, great insight.
And,
I mean, like, those are things that people need to be asking, like, for real, especially if you have an adult child, you know, if they're 18 or older going to college and they're getting ready to date, or you know something great is about to happen, you need to be asking these questions about their significant others and who they are. Like, those are
great questions, like straight to the point, don't lie to me type questions. We got another caller we want to bring in right now, Bill. Let's go ahead and bring him in.
All right.
Bill, you're not live.
What's up, Bill?
What's up?
Hey. So, Derek gave some good insight, man, because I have a brother now that's on the collegiate level. And he was experiencing some of the same things. He was like, you know, like, how do I handle this? Like, I have, it's even to the point now where, like Derek said, it's different now. He said that they try to adopt, like, they try to do this, like, this adoption thing, like, oh, you know, you'll be our little son or whatever, and, you know, oh, we'll bring you in, and we'll give you food when you're at college and all this good stuff. So in all actuality, you know, you start to wonder is it really out of the kindness of the heart, or is it really for, like, you know, so that you can gain some momentum from my success that I have. And so, you know, you
right.
have to tell them, you know, you have to be careful with stuff like that, because, you know, people use that to an advantage for them.
Mm-hmm. And like, we also got to think too, like our children are still growing in their social and emotional, you know, levels of having a higher level relationship, right? So when money becomes mm-hmm. involved, you know, other feelings become involved as well too. And so we need to have these conversations. We need to discuss these things. So, like, our next question is, as far as do we feel like our black athletes have a false sense of what privilege looks like once they achieve money and success? Derek, would you like to respond to that?
We bring Derek back in. Derek, you're back live with us. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, man, that was an interesting point when they get to the privilege part. that was you do have a false sense of it, because you've been treated a certain type of way throughout your athletic career. You have
right.
You have people that are interested in giving you whatever you ask for, because they know that there's a service that you have available. And
right.
you fall for the trap. You know, you think it's because of you, the person, not the gift that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? At the beginning, it's a real false sense of security. Then when you get older and you stop playing the game, you turn normal, like, overnight.
Right.
You know, like, in certain places, you feel the man because they're going off the memory of what you did. But outside of that, you turn into a normal Joe. And a lot of guys have a hard time with that transition.
I can see
yeah.
that.
I mean, like, I definitely can see that.
Yeah, they have a hard time. Just imagine, you go from sitting on top of the world, you know, you hit a game-winning shot, you go to the club that night, you know, everybody and their mama surrounded you, you know, showing you all kind of mad love. You're getting a little money
right.
put in your pocket, you know, every seasonal chick that's out, she trying to get at you, you know, every drink is free, you know, everything is just, you know, lovely at that moment, because everything is given to you. But then that lust to wear out. You know
right.
what I'm saying? You sitting there like, wow, what happened to the love?
That's
not
going to
be there.
That's definitely real. If you just
now you got to go into the
talk show.
I'm trying to make it like everybody else.
Right. That's real. If you're just now tuning in to the Middleman Talk Show, we are having a discussion on love or strategy, the black athlete. And we have a special guest on with us, my friend Derek Davis, who has played sports on a higher level as well too, and potentially have several children that will possibly be on a professional level as well too. I'm wishing that amongst his children. And he has been giving us a lot of great insight on the topics in which we have today. We have another caller that we want to bring in who has a comment. Let's bring in our boy Smitty.
Smitty, what's happening?
Man, another day in Phoenix, man. Nice and hot in Phoenix, man. How's it going, fellas?
Everything
going well,
brother.
Good. Hey, a couple of things on this. First, if you got a black son that plays sport, if the white girls like him in high school, That means your son's getting a scholarship. You should be happy about that part. Those white girls are good talent scouts. They got an eye for talent.
They know, right?
And two, that boy from Georgia who got drafted, who that white girl hugged up on him on that couch, and mama ready to put hands on him. Son, you make too much. You're going to be making too much money to date those husky white girls. Let her go. But here's the thing, guys. There's a lot deeper meaning on this. When it comes to these athletes, like, it's about the money. And what happens is that when you get these women, a man is supposed to provide financial security to a woman.
Right.
And, like, whatever money you make, that go pass down to that woman, that wife, and to your kids. Don't be like these idiots like Devin Booker who got two baby mamas at the same time. He's got Adrian Peterson, Dwight Howard who got both baby mamas and post moves. And these guys are blowing their money. But it's all – like who you beat. And see, what happens is our boys aren't taught about, hey, you got your money. You give your wealth to with that black woman you with. Where in case it doesn't work out, she got it. Cause folks can yell at Michael Jordan for being with that Cuban chick now, but he's one need over 20 years, three black kids who are making it in life, and he take care of them, and she got a $128 million check when they got divorced. And so what happens is you got to understand, and see those girls, those non-black girls, they bred to say, hey, you got to get your claws in this guy because men, there aren't but a finite number of men out there who could put you in a position where you don't have to work but pay on Facebook and see what Chanel bag you want and your kids go to private school. And so we're going to hop on this now.
Right. I mean, Smita, I've heard, stories about, families raising their, white families raising their daughters to be professional male scouts. You know what I'm saying? So they can find them a husband before or while they're in college.
And that's what you're supposed to do. That's a perfect time. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna say this though. The thing I agree with you, Ann. I agree with you, Smitty. They are talent scouts. Now, when we do this for our children, why black women or black families don't raise their daughters to look at them boys the same way?
I tell you this.
See, what happens is, I don't think black women are gold diggers. I don't think they're doing right. That's my issue. You're supposed to get the man with the bread. Because no man's supposed to look for a woman to provide with him financially. That woman's supposed to look for financial security from that man. That's just, if folks don't like it, sorry, that's the way it is. And I'm cool with that. If I get married, I'm going to provide financial security for my wife. I don't have kids, but if I did, I'll provide financial security for them. But you have to hop on those guys. Like look at LeBron. He married his high school sweetheart. They still together.
She ain't let him go. Let him go.
What happens is we got to understand legacy. We got to understand business, money, inheritance, all that stuff. Because
in the family, yes.
And those are the things, right, that you got to keep it in. Because look at how many of these dudes, I know, but the majority of black athletes and black men are married to black women. Majority of them are. They is on publicizing. And, but that money will go to our state within that community. Like, I ain't knocking the late Kobe Bryant, but he's passed. His wife's Mexican. She's got executives of state. Where's that money going? I'm not knocking him per se, but I'm looking at it as a business perspective, a financial perspective on that one. And it's about, because I say this and I'll shut up. We all know these Punjabi Indians out here, right? Or these Arab American and stuff like that. Do you ever see them wanting their kids to marry an American? They want to marry them to marry their own.
Right.
Because
stay
of that reason.
Stay in your same lane with us.
Ask Janet Jackson about that one, how that family wanted him marrying her for that reason. She got money. They still didn't want him touching her. Right. And so we've got to look at it that way, and our boys got to understand sisters are great as well. And our women are used to being with men through tough times. We're used to being with each other through tough times and leaning on each other. They aren't, and ain't knocking them for it. They don't have that experience where, hey, I lost my job, I got a degree, and I still can't get a job no matter how hard I work. They're not used to that life. And so I think that's another thing right there where they got to understand, these young cats understand, and look at it that way as well. Keep the money with us.
Most definitely, man. I appreciate that, Smitty, man. Appreciate that comment. I think you dropped a lot of jewels in there, too, Al, just in my opinion. But, you know. Go ahead, bro.
Go ahead.
Mm-mm, man, you got to stop that. Go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you, bro. Go ahead. I said right.
Oh, okay.
I'm agreeing with you.
But
no quarrel.
I'm just looking at it, like, from the standpoint, what one thing that Smitty was saying, even with the recruitment of, you know, looking at the young men, knowing that they got the talent. One thing, Derek, I don't know if he spoke on it, but not just the daughters are looking at you like that. The parents are looking at you like that. Because if you notice within the last maybe 20, 30 years, 20, 25 years or so, look how many black athletes are put up in white homes. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's a part of the business. So is that one of their strategies that they have also when they're looking at the black athlete? Because, I mean, we are a business. Black athletes are a business.
Yes, yes, so they can get a piece of the pie to continue to build their empire. That's always been the case. That's in history. Like, kings used to marry their daughters to continue what? Getting more wealth. They're doing the same thing.
Yeah. Now, even with that being said, Al, I've seen a lot of families, when they get those athletes in their house, what was that movie with Michael Orr?
The Blind Side.
They love to say, oh, my son, this is my son. But yet and still, it's almost like they expect that you owe me when you make it now because I put you in a better situation to get where you are. Do they truly owe them parents like that?
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Hey. That's a great question.
I'm just saying, do they really owe them?
At the end of the day, it's business.
So you got Big Mama snatching the girl up off the couch. You know what I'm saying? Big Mama snatching the girl off the couch. That girl family probably felt some kind of way. What if they helped out that young man? And that's how they met their daughter.
Do you think her parents were there?
Nope, they weren't there.
Why not? Why she over there? Why they ain't over there? Hard to play, man.
And they from Georgia, by the way. So we all know being from the South. Nine times out of ten, the only time a white girl will holler, brother, he is that got some money, he could be an athlete or entertainer. It ain't happening down South.
Oh, no, man. I've seen a lot of strange things here lately, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
Let me ask you all guys this, all right? So if anything happens to our athlete, like, you know, if they were to get injured before the contract, do you believe these ladies or these women will stay, or do they leave? Or do they naturally leave and find somebody else that can take care of them?
It depends on how far along, how many years you've been in, things like that, what do you got going on. Because the one thing with a lot of these athletes, they get a lot of access to businesses and business capital and all that stuff. Cause like, I am not knocking LeBron James or Kevin Durant, use them as an example. One, I know LeBron got put up by black people, but we know a lot of black boys grew up how he did. No one was putting him up because he was playing basketball. And he's one of the best ever. And Kevin Durant, look where his humble beginnings. But if these two was regular college-educated black guys, would Rich Kleiman be trying to bring in Kevin Durant? He was a regular black kid that went to Howard and got a degree. Or LeBron, who went to Ohio State, and whatever white guy would bring him in, and he has got a college degree? No. So those skills, like that access. And so a lot of those women may still look at that as like, hey, he may got hurt.
Right.
But, hey, he keep calling games. He may got some business and stuff here. He's still doing his thing using his access. So that's right there because if the guy is just happy playing ball, that's all he's going to do, she's going to leave because she realized this is as high as he's going to go.
Right.
Man.
Check this out, y'all. I got a clip. I think that will fit this perfectly. We're going to play this clip, and then we're going to bring everybody back. You're listening to the Man Talk Show. If you would like to get in this conversation, the number to dial is 516-387-1542. Press number one to get in the comment. If you're listening to us online, we do appreciate you. Share the links. If you're on Facebook, share the links. If you're in our Middleman Talk Show group, share the links. We do appreciate each and every one of you guys. Here's our second clip. Can you have a serious relationship with the pro? Now, this is two wives talking about their little situation with trolls. Now, y'all check this out.
We're talking with the author and self-proclaimed jockaholic, Rosa Blasey, right? Yeah. I pronounced that right? Okay, you may recognize Rosa from CSI Miami and Strong Medicine. Tonight, she's going to talk about her addiction to dating sports stars. Also, basketball wife star Jennifer Williams, she's going to weigh in. She's, I guess, going through a tough divorce from former NBA star Eric Williams. Jennifer says being married to an athlete isn't all glamour and diamonds. It's dysfunctional. Surprise, surprise. So, Rosa, enlighten us about this. What happened to you?
Honestly, you mentioned I was angry. I'm not angry. This, though, was a very eye-opening experience. I thought somehow me having my own career as an actress and in some cases making, you know, twice as much money, I was different than other girls. I wasn't after, you know, the sperm lotto. I was, I had my own independence. So it was a different thing for me that I thought put me in a different playing field. That wasn't the case. It didn't matter, you know, in whatever the sport was. And these were long-term relationships. These weren't, you know, this isn't...
What were the sports?
They were, well, I was married to a football player, and I was with him for about 6 years.
And he cheated?
Yeah.
Like right away, right?
Well, I didn't know he cheated until after we were separated.
But he cheated right away.
Well, when I found out he cheated, I found out he won the Olympics of cheating. He cheated on our wedding night.
Nice.
On Valentine's Day with one of my best friends. See,
I win. Wow, you do win. And you're not angry? How's that possible?
Because you know what? When you find out something so ridiculous, for lack of a better word, happens, you lose all sense of responsibility. It's like
too
no
much.
Amount of therapy. I mean, even you moving in with us couldn't have saved that.
No kidding.
Right. So, and I discovered I was a writer. I mean, I wrote a comedic memoir. It's not a, you know, revenge fantasy. It's not, you know... It's not an angry tell-all. It is a comedic ride through low self-esteem and questionable choices I made as a result of it.
I'm going to ask Jennifer to tell us her story first, but I want you to think about whether you think low self-esteem is motivating some of that jockaholism.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, what's your story?
My story is pretty much I married my husband, soon-to-be ex, about 4 years ago, and I had no idea what it was like to be with an athlete. It was not something that I pursued. I knew nothing about, none of my friends had dated an athlete. So when I started dating him, I was like, oh, okay, this is what this is all about. It's definitely, you know, a lot of glitz and glamour, but there are a lot of low times. There are a lot of moments where you're by yourself, you're lonely. I was married to a basketball player, so I'm not sure how it works in football, but they have 82 games, 41 are on the road, and when they're on the road, there's a lot of time for them to interact with groupies and a lot of time for them to get in trouble. So my marriage sort of took a downward spiral, and we're going through a divorce now. So that's pretty much my story.
When did you discover that he was cheating? I assume that you mean by the downward spiral.
You know what? I knew early on that there was a lot of cheating. We were together for almost 10 years, and we didn't get married right away. So I went through a lot of the cheating, but we weren't married. Right before we got married, there was an incident where I found out he was cheating. We went to counseling, and I thought, okay, we go to counseling, we're getting married, he's going to definitely change for the better, and that just wasn't the case.
Okay, so let's just point out that the husbands and boyfriends aren't here to defend themselves. This is your guys' point of view, and they're certainly welcome to join me and to defend themselves on their stories, but... let's just say that, you know, it's not a stretch to consider that there's some groupies and some potential for acting out amongst professional athletes. I've treated a lot of them myself, and some of them are reticent about it. Some are like, hey, this is why I do this. What are you supposed to do? This is one of the sort of perks of being in this business.
And we're back. You're now tuning to the Middleman Talk Show on the Middleman Radio. We are discussing love or strategy. The black athlete with Kevin
and myself, and we also have a special guest on, my friend Derek Davis, who has been giving us a lot of insight, who has played on professionals on a higher level of sports, in basketball and football. And so some of the things in which we discussed today, well, does love come with the money and the fame? And are suitors targeting our younger athletes for either love or is it financial security? So we just played a clip on, you know, can you have a serious relationship with a pro? Now, one of the ladies, you know, she is the wife of a professional football player who played for the Browns. And the second one is the former wife of Eric Williams, who played for the Celtics. So both of them had stories of, you know, their husbands who are professional athletes, you know, going out on their marriage. So did they stay? Did they leave? Would you stay? Would you leave? These are the questions in which, you know, these ladies were answering on that particular clip. Now, in reference to our children, and when things happen or when they get the money and if they do not pan out in the league and their spouses or their loved ones leave them, how do we react to that? Like, how do we help our children? How do we, like, what conversations should we have with them when this occurs? Because we all know things happens in relationships. We definitely want them to have, you know, the counseling which they need, being able to, you know, work through certain things, but certain things just don't pan out. And we see it at younger ages as well, too. How can we help our children with that?
You know, one thing, Al, and we're going to bring all the guys back in here in a second. Just thinking about Sean Kemp. Sean Kemp had so many baby mamas and a lot of kids. So when you're looking at a situation where you just spread yourself thin like that, you know, I've seen a couple of pro athletes. What's his name? He played for the Pacers. He has a podcast with, they both played. One of them, he played for Golden State, and the other one, Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes But the thing is, you know, he was talking about how when he first got in the league, man, he was running wild. He did everything he wanted to do. And now he regrets the fact that he got all – yeah, he got – not – who? What are you saying?
Dylan Rose?
No. Somebody going to tell us his name. But he was just talking about, you know, how he regret having all these different baby mothers. And, you know, he was giving advice to all the other athletes, like, hey, man, get you one woman. Stick with that woman. If she down for you, stick with that woman. If she ain't, get rid of her. Don't have kids. Use protection.
Yes. I know
who
you're talking about now.
So, I mean, with that type of thought process and looking at how the athletes, black athletes are looked at, you know, I hope that they're taking solid advice. And I respect what Derek said earlier, where when we ask, should you tell your kids how to date and who to date? I respect what he's saying. He said the bumps and bruises will at least give them the understanding of what they need to do in life.
Right.
But when you got people out here that, you know, strategizing and plotting on you, looking at your potential, man, you better be on your thing.
Right. For that financial detriment, man, like, we have to step in. Like, that's why I posed the question, like, because if they do get the money and something happens, like, how can we be there for them? Like, what type of advice would we give to them?
Let's bring them back in. We got Bill on the line, we got Smitty on the line, and we got our man Derek on the line. What's going on, guys?
Man,
Derek,
would you like to tackle that
first? Yeah. I got a lot on that.
Okay.
I look at it from this perspective because a lot of guys are not emotionally prepared to deal with. The maturity level hadn't been reached yet for them to comprehend what they're about to get into, right? So now you mix in that you got access to a boatload of money. You got access to the most beautiful women in the world, right? You got access to business ventures. You got access literally to almost everything that your heart could desire. Now, you take that and you combine it with a guy who hadn't gone through his maturation process, right? You got the boy, the male, and the man. 9 times out of 10, they can't stuck on male, right? So if he's stuck on male, that means every carnal desire is what he's going to go after. He is going to go as lavish as he possibly can because he's everything, every sense he's has been tantalized, right? You know, he can open his mouth and he get it. So he don't understand restraint. He don't understand discipline outside of sport. Right? He don't equate that same discipline with life yet because he hasn't been put in a situation to use it. Now, what happens a lot of times with the same guys, when they coming up, all the coaches, all the boosters, his whole his Flavor Flav crew, you know, his hype men, all of them, I'm saying, yeah. Ain't nobody told this cat no yet. Ain't nobody told him no yet. So now he just going to indulgence, man. Everything he going to do everything that's in front of him. So, so now when he get 5 kids like Steven Jackson that's on the podcast.
Yeah, that's what it was. Steven Jackson, that's right.
He had 11, 13 kids. And now all that money he made in the league did two things. Went up his nose and went out to child support.
Mm-hmm.
When all that happened, man, you do. You don't know which way to turn. The most of these guys were not in school based off of their academic ability. Most of us were in school based off of our athletic ability. So a lot of us were underdeveloped on the academics of economics. We didn't know how to distribute money, so a lot of it we had to buy lessons instead of somebody teaching you the game ahead of time.
Right.
I got a question for you. I got a question for you now. I know that you know we ain't asking no names or nothing like that, but I would assume that you do have some associates that played in the league for a while and people that you've dealt with on to that level. Have they ever come back to you and say, hey, man, you know, I wish I would have did it like this when it came to me having a relationship or the people that I've dealt with? Have they ever felt regret with any of the things that they've done when they made it to that level?
Man, That's the first thing. That's the first bought lesson that most of my homeboys and guys. They set up, then got up with whoever they thought was in love with them. When the money ran dry, they bounced. The ones that got involved with interracial relationships, they having custody battles. A couple of my homeboys having custody battles right now. You know, but it's all because a lot of the times they wasn't informed on how to make a decision. You know, what I figured out through this process, man, and dealing with my son, is that I had to sit back and look at where he was in life, right, maturity-wise, what he comprehended that I tried to give him. So I felt like I can put him at an advantage versus a deficit because I can show him, you know, all right, look at this lesson. I said, now I'm knowing you're not going to do exactly what I'm telling you to do, but I need you to remember a portion of this so when you see something that look like this, you know how to deal with it. You know, like earlier, y'all were talking about how the women are coached up in other cultures, right, on what to look for.
Right.
I got a couple different opinions about that. But what we fell in is we not coaching our guys up and our young ladies up that are coming into these opportunities on how to identify the ones that are scouting them because they got
I
scout
agree.
Too.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
That's where we're failing, but it's hard for them to balance it because they're still trying to hone their ability in whatever athletic arena that they're in, right? So they coming in, they spending 7-6 hours in the gym, doing road work, putting up shots, you know, trying to pass a couple classes here and there to stay eligible. Right? Let's just be real about it. Trying to make sure they stay eligible, right?
Right.
And then
right.
Now I gotta look and make sure that this chick not scamming me or this family that want to offer me 10 pair of shoes, you know, or a brand new wardrobe that, you know, they not gaming me either.
Well, mm-hmm. I'm back to hone them, bite them in the butt.
Yeah, see, yeah, because, I got a different insight on the whole Michael Orr situation. Mm-hmm. Because I grew up in the area where Mike grew up. The guy that was his mentor that they referred mm-hmm. to into the movie named Big Tony. Mm-hmm. Man, Big Tony was one of the most influential guys in North and South Memphis when it came to youth sports and helping kids out. The depiction they gave of him was a fallacy. He was so much more than what he didn't offer that kid up, man. You know, but they were gonna tell him because he bought the rights. Yeah, they bought the rights to it. But a lot of the guys in Mike's position end up dating, you know, white girls now because that's who they've become comfortable with, because that's what they're familiar with seeing on a regular basis. That's gonna be the path of least resistance.
So let me ask you guys this, and we're going to bring in Smitty and Bill as well for their comments. Do you feel like they associate dating outside their race or dating, you know, of another nationality, like a sign of having made it into the higher society?
Man.
Don't speak on it, Derek.
Now I ain't like I don't know how many of you guys been veterans. You guys are show like they know I'm a veteran. I'm an Air Force guy, and I know when I went overseas, we used to be like, man, I knocked down this Japanese girl and this girl from like Australia, knocked them down. But we was like, all right, these women got passed around. But I think the status of them. See, what happens is that part of it also is how they grew up. A lot of these kids, mm-hmm. maybe, right, if he grew up a humble beginning, let's look at that kid from the blind side, Michael Orr. When your mama kicked you out before you learn how to drive because of some dude she was laying up with, and then you got this white family, who I think kind of got some bigoted tendencies, but that's besides the point, decided to bring him in, treat him good, he make the pros, who he going to look at? And I think it starts like how they grew up from the beginning. It's like how they were treated growing up.
Yeah. Wow. Bill, would you like to add to that?
So I don't think. Well, from my perspective, I don't think that would be a way to show that that they've made it to that level. Now, I do believe that it is a way of growing up because if you grow up in the South and, you know, you end up dating, like, someone, you know, of another race or some sort like that, yeah, I mean, somebody could have that thought process. But someone that's staying up North, I mean, if you make that effort to do so, you know, the high school level because of, you know, the fact that you're doing well in sports. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't necessarily think that it doing it signifies that you've made it big or anything. But I do believe that the way that you grow up and where you, I guess your geographic location does make a difference in that.
You know what it is also? I tell you another thing also. And I'll tie this in, like, well, my ex, right, sister. She'll tell you, I took her to nice places because I wanted her to experience those nice restaurants where, like, you don't have a price on the menu when you look online or you sit low level in good seats. Or we go to a club together, we cut the line because I wanted to show her those things. You know, because out here in Phoenix, you got white boys, black dudes showering the white girls everything. And but the one good thing also, like you guys were saying, and it hits home with one more thing as well. It, like I'll say, it's how they grew up. It's how they it's like they look. It's sometimes people look at their moms, man, their moms, their dads, and see what type of bad mm-hmm. people they are. Or they keep making, like, they keep knocking our society, saying we do this, it's bad. Or they do it better. But the main thing is stability in those other communities, because we don't have the wealth or the stability that those other communities have of getting these benefits. And so a lot of them may think, hey, I got this money in the league, or right, I got this cushy ESPN job. But you look at it, most of the black dudes on ESPN or Fox play sports, most of the white guys never picked up a ball ever. And but they think that because they made the money, they're in. And in many cases, but they still aren't because we don't own it. And that's another thing in itself. And those ability and those benefits that the other society is getting their own.
Well, you know, one thing, too, that you said earlier, Smitty, there's certain aspects that they and Derek said it also when we were dealing with Michael Orr, the people around him that were stable, the people that were influential and helped. So you do have, like, I could use LeBron James. LeBron James' mother was probably, you know what I'm saying, doing the best she could with what she had. And look what he turned out to become. There's a lot of athletes in the league that have stable parents and also a good relationship with their parents, but that's not the thing that's pushed. We always have to have the hardest stories, just like when the draft came through with the NFL. Why they had to talk about that man, mama passed and all that stuff when she was on drugs or whatnot. Just like with the other, when the Dallas Cowboy owner asked to do what your mother used to do for a living and, you know, trying to insinuate that she was a prostitute or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's always a potential for them to make us look bad because it fits the narrative. Now, when you look at these young men and they're told that, and at one time, maybe in the 80s and the 90s, you would see more athletes, you know, go after white women, which, as we got a disclaimer, we have nothing against interracial relationship, marriages, whatever. Just read our disclaimer. We ain't talking bad about it. We just talking about it. So I'm just saying, my thing is this. You know, when they were dating these women, they were like a status, a trophy piece. And they looking like, go back home with their family, look what I got on my arm. But I'm noticing, and I love the trend, a lot more athletes that are more prominent. Now, they don't have white women on their arm. If they did want to, nothing against it. But I'm just saying what I'm noticing. Because look at Dwayne Wade. Look at Carmelo Anthony. Look at LeBron James. I can keep naming guys in the league that don't have another person from another hue or race or nationality on their own. Even look at Dirk Nowitzki. He got a black wife.
You do?
Nothing wrong with it. Just saying. A lot of people use those narratives to make our young men feel like, yeah, you've made it. You quote, unquote, you've made it. And I think that fits the narrative with a – and when they get to college, like Derek was speaking of, they roll out the red carpet. They probably got girls in the room waiting on them. We've seen movies about this. Now, Derek, Liam, we don't know it.
And
I'm just saying.
And some want to find out if those movies are real. Like, some want to find out if when I get back to my hotel, there are going to be some people that are going to get past the security guards to be in my room.
Man, listen.
They
want to
see that.
Listen.
They want to see people
reality.
Pull their jerseys off of them and scream for them. And, you know, I got the, you know, the whitest of the white black girl whose daddy is a multi-billionaire on my arm. Like, they think or they want that because that's what it's been put out in front of them. Like, that's what they idolize sometimes. Not all, but some, because they want to live that
lifestyle.
That
fantasy proceeds over into that reality. Because like
that's
you correct. Just said, Al, they want to see how real can this be. When they dad is sitting on the sideline somewhere saying, all right, now if he don't make it, you better get rid of him. And I ain't mad at him for saying it.
So listen, this conversation reminds me of, I think when LeBron won his first championship, somebody, a white lady offered him money for his semen because she wanted to have a black baby.
Yeah.
They did it for Serena. It was Serena and him. A billionaire offered him to have a child together because, I mean, that was a racial overtone. Because go back to breeding and all. It's a whole long history about that, but which is crazy. Go ahead, bro.
All the way back to slavery.
Man, think about it from this perspective. A guy that's playing ball, you get into a gymnasium, you got 20,000 people in the gym screaming, going crazy to see you and your teammates play. Man, you realize what kind of social high, what that does to a guy's psyche?
Oh yeah,
we and already.
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah. To have a normal mindset is virtually impossible. Then then go into what you were mentioning earlier about, you know, dealing with other ethnic groups, right? I think I'm a bear of a strange breed. I got a chance to play ball at a respectable level. I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps, you know, so hats off to my Air Force brother, even though he went to the Air Force. But you get to see different sides and different cultures and different things are made available to you, man, just because you in these arenas, you know. And, you know, a lot of guys, man, have that bag and tag mentality. Yeah, man, I've been with a girl from Holland, one from London, one from Puerto Rico, Haiti. You know, you just go down the litany of lists. Because of that male desire, you're like, yeah, man, I had all of that, you know, but was never taught the discipline to, you know, hey, you ain't got to get all that, you know. We the only thing we've ever taught was opulence, because we didn't have nothing to begin with. The majority of us didn't have much to begin with, right? So now, whatever we get, man, we trying to stockpile it or burn it up, you know, as quick as we get it, because we don't know what it's like to have it. You know, so it's hard to balance it when it ain't nobody there to teach the cat how to balance it out. And in order to do that, a lot of guys don't respect it if you ain't got the experience. You know, just like you was talking about the commentators with you know, having an athlete in, and then, you know, you got the white boy that just so happened he went to Creighton and he got a degree in journalism. You know, but you got this other black guy over here that won 6 national championships, or, you know, that won 3 professional championships and 2 national championships. And now, you know, that's to validate, in all honesty, to validate the white guy who just got the communications degree. Think about what the show with Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless.
Yeah,
right? Skip really didn't get no notoriety until he started bashing LeBron on a consistent basis.
LeBron,
now,
exactly.
You know, he's a writer. You know, he's always a decent writer. But as far as the validity, didn't really come until he got with other personalities that had actually been in the industry, right? Being on the show with Shannon. Man, this is the highest praise he had never had in his whole life, because Shannon validated him. You know, Shannon always giving him kudos on his writing ability and his journalistic views.
Right.
But,
and his research, you know,
if he was on that with another joke, man, he wouldn't be big. You know, so
no, he would.
Like this, one of the speakers y'all had on earlier was talking about how guys are used, you know, by car dealerships, by pizza companies, and all of this just so they can have that faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same concept.
Yep.
It's the same concept.
Yep.
You know, you go do an autograph signing at a car dealership, right? They had it's a guy from down this area, Deuce McAllister. Deuce played for the Saints, played football at Ole Miss. You know, oh man, they love him. They love him.
Played at
every time. Every time he come out, you know, do an autograph signing, man, we're gonna give you $50,000. Wow, you know what I'm saying? You're getting $50,000 to $100,000. You get a 6-figure check for spending 5 hours for signing your name.
Yeah. Right. But they drawing people in to make money off with that person. If he getting 50, they mean that they getting triple that or more than that.
Yeah,
He the draw.
They probably sold 20 cars that day that he just came to sign off.
Exactly.
Yep, right. And he probably signed the inside of one of the cars with one of them little special markers. This is a Deuce McAllister version of this car.
Man,
they
making money
you
hand
know
over
it.
Fist. But, all right, just like y'all was talking about earlier, how the white girls get trained up. They frown on the sisters if they go through the same training because they don't want the sisters to have the same access.
Right. Mm. Even though they have first access to them in school.
No, they don't.
Right.
And the reason being, it go back to that whole concept of the guy going to the path of least resistance, right? All right, so if I'm playing sports, right, the first thing I'm taught is to take advantage of the weakness that my opponent has shown.
Right.
So now, throughout my journey, I'm looking for the weaknesses that are shown to me. So I ain't going to just use it when I'm on the court or when I'm on the field. I'm going to use it in the classroom. I'm going to manipulate the chick. I'm going to manipulate the teacher. I'm going to use it when I'm talking to girls. I'm going to see who's going to go for what I'm pitching and who ain't. Oh, yeah, she's going to let me do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's showing me this. She going to tell me I'm wrong? Now, this for the guy that ain't matured now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
Because once a player develops, he learns that he can't always go against the weakest opposition and get better. Now, when he's initially learning, he needs to go against a combination, right, so he can learn the balance.
Right.
But as he progresses, he's going to start going towards who's the best competition, right? So he's going to start looking for who's the best woman. But if he never go through that maturation process, all he's going to look for is the least resistance. So now
– that's deep, Derek.
Is that chick that's showing him everything? The chick that's giving him everything? The chick that, oh, baby, I'll do your homework for you. Oh, baby, I'll do this for you. Oh, don't worry about it. Oh, you want to go out with the fellas tonight? Y'all going to the strip club? Go right ahead. Oh, he's going to run it up.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But then you got the brother that runs to the woman like, look, hey, I don't know what kind of party you used to, but it ain't that type of party.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But those are the ones that find a woman that can tell them no. If you notice, those are the ones who end up with a better relationship. Like Brian and his old girl, y'all brought him up. They've been together since high school. His notoriety don't impress her. You know what I'm saying?
She know everything about him.
So what now?
She know everything about him.
That don't impress her. She gonna be like, hey, Brian, hey, no, man, that ain't a good look. They ain't a good look. We need to have all the babies right here. If you gonna have babies, all of them need to be right here with me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's all in his old lady. They've been together since high school.
Right.
You know, it depends on that the maturity, man. You know, you end up getting them chicks. I'm going to tell you one relationship that used to crack me up. Doug Christie and his old lady.
Man, get people married every year?
Yeah. Now, that's excessive. But what used to crack people up, she would go to every game.
Yeah.
Every game.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
some
said, she's doing too much. The ones that said that was the ones that were mad because they couldn't get a shot of their meat.
Right. Sitting over on the sidelines waiting on him to slip up.
You know what I'm saying? They say, like, man, any of y'all in here done Christian? No, his wife did every game. You know, so now you're looking at the fact, him paying for her to come to every game, man, that was a drop in the bucket for their marriage security.
Right. Uh-huh. So, I mean, we've seen that as well, too. I mean, with Lamar Odom and, you know, Khloe Kardashian, like that was part of their marriage agreement, that for her family to attend all the games, and they have to sit in a certain section in the Lakers stadium too. Like that's in the their paperwork. And so, but we definitely had a great discussion today. We talked about love strategy and the black athlete. We definitely had some great conversation with our guest today, Derek Davis, who plays sports on a professional level as well. Also was in the Marine Corps, had some children who are also going to be playing on a professional level as well, or also becoming some scientists or medical doctors as well, too. But we really appreciate his insight and his knowledge as well, too. He definitely dropped a lot of jewels for you all today. But are pro athlete suitors targeting them for love, or is it financial stability? Great question. Great way to end the show. Definitely go back and check out the show today. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/TheMiddleman and click on Love or Strategy or the Black Athlete. You can definitely find us on the podcast app on iTunes, Listen Notes, as well as iHeartRadio.
add us to your services so we can definitely be in your ear every week. Share this show with a friend and another friend, man. Great show today, kid. How you feel?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. We want to give a shout-out to our man Bill and give a shout-out to – why I don't ever remember Bill's show. What's Bill's show now?
Hear me out.
There we go. Hear me out. So we want to give a shout-out to Bill and Hear Me Out. Also, Derek, man, being from that Memph 10, I'm going to have to get it, Derek, man. I need to find some good barbecue up that way, Al. I know you probably know, but yeah, great show today. And if you're just tuning in to this show and you're listening, we do appreciate you. If you never heard us before, we got a wealth of shows on our website, blogtalkradio.com/The Middleman Talk Show. Or The Middleman. Make sure you go back and download some of those shows, man. If you listen to some of our old shows, man, I'm telling you, we was bringing that heat, still bringing that heat, and going to continue to bring that heat. So continue to listen to us. Tune in, share it to a friend, add it, like Al said, add it to your podcast or whatever you got, how you're downloading shows. Add us to that. Add us to that. Great show, Al. Great show.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, check out Bill on Hear Me Out as well. He's going to be doing a review for some of our shows as well. You can follow him on Facebook. Just type in Hear Me Out, and you'll definitely see us. And also, too, check us out on Facebook, too, The Middleman Talk Show. Join our group so you can get updates on our next shows and what we're doing next. We may have some drawings.
Hey,
so definitely.
Oh, yeah. Man, if you like our logo, man, you're going to love what we're about to do. Lord, y'all going to love it.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait. Hell, I got to give a shout-out to our two co-hosts.
Do it. Nicky, what up?
Yeah, I'm going to give them a shout. I'm going to give this my shout-out to our two co-hosts. Hell. Should have brought your butt here today to do the show.
And we also got to send a special shout-out to Cotton Kings as well, too. You can definitely go to their website and get some clothing from Cotton Kings, man. They got hats, hoodies, T-shirts, art designs as well, too, man. If you need a picture drawn by you, they have great artists as well, too. They can do you a self-portrait with some abstracts, man. It's nice, man.
Yes, sir. American-made. Black on, it's the trifecta. So y'all make sure y'all go support Cotton Kings. They also have a brand called Cotton Queens for the ladies out there. So check it out. Just do just a regular search on the Cotton Kings, man. Hopefully y'all love that. All right, man, let's go ahead and shut this thing down, man. I did not realize we've been up in this studio that long. What?
Hey, man.
Man, let me go get something to eat, man. We tripping. Most definitely. Man, let me go ahead and get this thing going, man. All right, man.
Yeah.
I got to do it one more time. I got to give a shout out to Jen and Nick Eaton. Here we go.
That's
man.
Inside joke. Hey, we love y'all, man.
All right. We out.
We out.